This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du, my brothers and sisters, this is the first Jum'ah in the blessed month of Rabiul Awwal, the month of the birth of Rasulullah ﷺ and his passing away. So it's a month of both great happiness and, of course, great sadness. Let me ask you a question. What is the first thought that comes into your mind when you think of Rasulullah ﷺ? Do that. Just think about him and see what is the first thought that comes into your mind. For me, it is someone to run to if I need anything. If I could do that, I would do it. It is someone who I hope, inshaAllah, will intercede for me when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who I love more than I can possibly say. And who I yearn to meet. And Allah is my witness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us all. That we meet Him at His house and receive the water of Al-Kawthar from His blessed hand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that before that day we see Him in our dream and give Him our salam and He responds with His dua. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us many blessings. Everything we have is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From our lives to our health to our families, our wealth, and above all Islam. These are all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. There is not one of them which we can say, I worked for this and I earned it and it's mine. No. It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His great generosity and His magnificence and His mercy. But there is only one out of all His blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu emphasized and especially mentioned as His ni'mah, His blessing. And that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let us reflect on that. Just think about this and say that this is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called and emphasized and pointed it to us and said, this is my blessing. What is my view? How do I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great blessing, a great ni'mah. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. Allah is not only saying that He gave a blessing, but He is emphasizing that. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great blessing on the believers when He sent among them a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from among themselves. So this is a double benefit, a double honor that He sent a messenger and the messenger is one of them. Reciting unto them His ayat, the Quran, purifying them, tazkiyah wa tarbiyah, and instructing them in the book, which is the Quran al-Karim, and al-Hikmah, which is the wisdom of His Sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, just think about that. There's something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes. What must we do about that? Now, if you think about the life of the people of Makkah, especially the Quraysh, they were highly successful business people, men and women. They had wealth. They self-governed, they were not ruled by anybody. They were not subservient to either of the two empires in their part of the world. They had every luxury and pleasure that money could buy. So why did they need Islam? I'm asking this because this is a very relevant question for us to ask ourselves today. Why do I need Islam? I think this is a time for us to become very frank and forthright with ourselves. Sit and look at yourself in the mirror and say, why do I need Islam? And answer that question. Because whatever we do in our lives, is happening because of our unconscious answer to that question. So it's a good idea to answer it consciously and then decide whether what I'm doing is in line with that answer or away from it. I say to you that angle influences the view. Right? Look at something straight like this. Bend your head down, put your head down on the table or on the floor and look at the same view. You will have a completely different view. Angle influences the view. What you see depends on the angle you look at it from. The thing doesn't change. It's the same thing. It's the same carpet and whatnot. When you're looking at it from the top, it looks looks one way. If you lie down on the floor and look at the same carpet, it looks different. It's the same carpet. Nothing has changed. What has changed is the angle from which we are looking at it. Now, our job is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the angle of our lives has been changed. Our job, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the insan for anything other than to worship me, other than to please me. Our job is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we have been taught that our job is to accumulate wealth. Our role models almost exclusively are those who accumulate wealth. Talk to anybody on the street. Ask them who is their role model. See how many people will name anyone other than a billionaire. But if you ask them this question and say, but what did he do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the answer? So what will happen to him if he reaches the Akhirah without having pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or worse still, having angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having accepted a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is going to happen to that person? So is that person successful or failure? Or a failure? Is that a person who is worthy of being your role model? Now, this was the case of the Quraysh and the choice that they faced. Some chose to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, and others chose to reject ways that run contrary to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared about the Sahaba, which tells us about their akhirah and that of their followers. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah said, and the first to embrace Islam of the Muhajirun and the Ansar and those who followed them exactly in faith, Allah kept that door open for all Muslims who want to follow the Sahaba until the Day of Judgment. Allah said, Allah is well pleased with them. Allah is declaring this, radiallahu anhu. Allah is well pleased with them as they are well pleased with Him. He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. That is Jannah. That is supreme success. So we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the Akhirah of those who accepted the message of Muhammad Rasulullah that their Akhirah is assured, they have Jannah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let's look at their dunya. Did that suffer? Did they lose their wealth because they started following Islam? Did they lose their influence? Did they lose their power? Or did they, in one single generation, change from being at best a village of prosperous businessmen, prosperous merchants, to becoming the dominant global power having defeated both the Roman and the Persian empires? Now, history is witness. And that is why we have to see what changed in their lives. The angle changed, and so the view changed. And that is why in this month of Rabiul Awwal, I present to you Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only as the model we must follow if we want success in the Akhirah, but as the model we must follow if we want success in dunya and Akhirah. Now, why is success in dunya important? Because success in dunya drives success in Akhirah. Who are successful in dunya? Those who please Allah. That means we must change our metrics, our standards of measuring success. Rasulullah ﷺ taught us how to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned four things in the ayah which I quoted. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Recite, purify, teach the meaning and show the wisdom. Now imagine a farmer. What does he do? He has the best seed, right? Absolutely the best seed. Does he simply throw it anywhere and expect to get a great harvest? He never does. No farmer will do that. He prepares the soil first. He doesn't even touch the seed. Before that, he prepares the soil to receive the seed. He removes the impurities in the soil. He removes the pathogens in the soil. He treats the pathogens in the soil. He treats the soil pH value, acidity, alkalinity, and so on and so forth. And then when the soil is ready, then he sows the seed properly in the way that is suited to the kind of seed. Some seeds have to be sown deep, some seeds have to be sown on the surface and so on. Then he waters it and he nurtures it. Now, try to short circuit this process or try to change its order and you will discover that even the best seed will wither and die and not yield even a fraction of what it was capable of yielding. That is the situation with our deen. Think of the beautiful story of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who memorized Surah Al-Baqarah in 12 years and gave a walima to celebrate. Now you might say, well, our children memorized the whole Quran in 2 years. And here is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Sahibul Kalam, he is Sahibul Lugha al-Arabiya. He is a native speaker of Arabic, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest scholars of Islam. He takes 12 years to memorize one surah, 2.5 juz. And of course, he gave a walima to celebrate, he was so happy. So they asked him why it had taken him so long to memorize one surah. He said, we used to go to Rasulullah and take 10 ayat from him. Then we would memorize them, we would reflect on them, we would practice what those ayat mentioned and contained, we would clarify any doubts. And only when we were totally satisfied, we would go for the next 10. And that is why when they finished memorizing the Quran al-Kareem, they were living that part of the Quran. Now let us reflect on what we do with the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, O you believe, fear the anger of Allah, be afraid of Allah and give up what remains due to you from riba, from interest, from now onwards. If you are believers, but if you do not do it, then take notice of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you repent, you shall have your capital sums. Do not deal unjustly by asking more than your capital sums, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly by receiving less than your capital sums. Now, we know this ayah. We recite it with perfect tajweed. We listen to those who recite well and we praise their recitation. And then, what do we do? You know the answer to that. Ask yourself, what should you do? In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and hold fast all of you together to the rope of Allah, the Quran. And do not be divided, do not form divisions, do not form groups among yourselves. Allah did not say, لَا تَخْتَلِفُوا. Allah said, لَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Allah did not say, don't disagree on things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't form groups. Don't make that disagreement a means of breaking your ummah apart. And remember Allah's favor on you, for you were enemies one to another, but He joined your hearts together, so that by His grace you became brethren in Islam. And you were on the brink of a pit of fire, and He, Jalla Jalaluhu, saved you from it. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His ayat clear to you that you may be guided. We recite this with perfect tajweed. We talk about ikramul muslimin. We talk about and emphasize ummat pana, being one ummah. And then what do? I'm speaking specially to my Tabligh brothers. What do we do? What happened to this ayah? In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijsum min amali shaytani fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, intoxicants, which is alcohol, drugs, tobacco, whatever, anything that intoxicates, anything which is habit forming, anything which is addictive, gambling, al-ansab and al-azlam, which is fortune telling in any way, vastu, shastu, tarot cards, feng shui, whatnot, are an abomination of shaitan's handiwork. Shaitan's handiwork is bad, this is the worst of it. So strictly avoid that abomination so that you may be successful. Same story. We recite, we listen, we praise reciters, and then you know perfectly well that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited something, then everything to do with that is prohibited. Buying it, selling it, storing it, having it in your stores, whatnot, everything is haram. You know what you do, I know what we do. Please. I can give you many more examples, but this will suffice. Let us ask ourselves what the Sahaba did. The study of the seerah of Rasulullah is so critical for this very reason, because it is the blueprint of success to study and act on it. Take the issues of the three ayat which I recited just now. Did the Sahaba face these issues? Of course. Of course they did. That is why the ayat were revealed. Their society was based on interest-based banking. They had multi-billion dollar international business interests based on the same principles as practiced in their world in the Roman and Persian empires, and which are practiced to this day. In our world, did they have to deal with alcohol and gambling and addictions and other vices? Of course. Did they fight among themselves and were they divided? Of course. But what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran. And what did Rasulullah and the Sahaba do? What did the Sahaba do? Did they hold annual Quran recitation competitions and give out prizes for the best reciter? Or did they focus on practice? Did they ask who had memorized more Quran, or more ayat? Or did they focus on practice? Did they implement what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to do in their lives? Dumb question. But what was the result of that? Did their businesses collapse? Did they all starve to death because they had stopped dealing in interest or stopped dealing in haram things? Did they get weak and lose influence because they buried the hatchet and forgave each other and came together based on Islam? I know I'm asking dumb questions, but please bear with me. And let us ask ourselves what we are doing. To do the same thing and expect a different result is the height of stupidity. If we want a different result, we must do something different. We want wealth, we want power and influence, we want friends, we want moral strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to get them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba showed it to us in practice. Then what are we waiting for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very simple. He said, just do what my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, indeed, in the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example, the best example to follow for the one, for him who hopes to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last day, he hopes for the day of judgment, looking forward to the day of judgment, and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. So you ask, what must you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in? In everything. Walk like he walked, talk like he talked, deal like he dealt, eat what he ate, drink what he drank, in weakness, in strength, in grief and in joy, in health, in sickness, in plenty, in need, alone and among others, do what he did. Study the seerah and practice it. His life is the template, the blueprint, the roadmap to success. But remember that the best roadmap cannot guide the one who doesn't follow it. If you don't follow the map, you will get lost while still holding the map in your hand. That is our situation today. We are lost while holding the map in our hand. We kiss the map, we decorate it, we keep it safe in a high place. We do everything except following it. And we wonder why we are lost. Is that a mystery? Finally, our Rabb, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, who sent his Khalil, his Habib, the last and final, the crown and seal of all his messengers, after whom there is no other messenger, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ordered him to announce to the world the reward of emulating him in every aspect of life. He is Jalla Jalaluhu said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to these people, if you really love Allah, then emulate me. Emulate me, follow me, emulate me. And Allah will love you and forgive your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving and most merciful. It is very important in this case to understand the difference between ittiba, which is obedience, and which is emulation, and ita'at, which is obedience. Ita'at is obedience and ittiba is emulation. It's very important to understand the difference between these two things. There are two critical differences. Ita'at requires an order to be obeyed. In the absence of an order, there can be no obedience. If I ask you to do something for me, please get me a glass of water. Now the order, the request has gone out. Now it's up to you to do or not to do. But if I say nothing to you, and I say you are being disobedient, then you have the right to ask me, what did I do? So wait, you never told me anything. So for itaat, for obedience, an order is required. In the absence of an order, there can be no obedience or disobedience. The reward of itaat is specific. Whatever we do, the reward is specific. 1:10, 1:700, and so on and so on. All refer to itaat. Ittiba, or emulation, on the other hand, is the result of love. We emulate those we love. This is the whole philosophy of the so-called super influencers in our world today. People who are promoted as role models, who sheep follow and walk and talk and eat and buy and wear and drive what they do, while the smart ones who run the game laugh all the way to the bank. The super influencers, they get paid to walk and talk and eat and wear and drive whatever they do, they get paid by the people who produce all that. They're not doing it for free. And you are paying to do that. And you think you're smart. Stop for a second and ask, if the one you emulate even knows if you exist or cares a hoot about it, yet you follow them. Why? Because you think that this adds value to you. Then ask yourself this question and say, what is the value of emulating Rasulullah? Ask what value emulating, making the ittiba of Rasulullah adds to you. Love of Rasulullah is not about singing anashid and whatever else we do. love of the Messenger ﷺ is to live his message. The reward of that, apart from worldly success, is it will give us the love of the one who loves the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the final difference between itaat and ittiba. The reward of one is reward from Allah. The reward of the other is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.